From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, January 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. Voting is underway for Illinois residents to pick the state's next flag. What do experts think of the 10 finalists?
I think that they all would get about a letter grade B from flag design experts. Each of them has the opportunity to be an even better design with some polishing.
We talk with local members of the State Flag Commission about the finalists and what they believe Illinoisans should be thinking about as they vote. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Members of the Missouri Senate Judiciary Committee heard a bill Wednesday that would require the state to pay damages to people who've been wrongfully convicted. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports on the bill's initial hearing.
If passed, Senate Bill 36 would allow people who've been exonerated to claim $179 per day of wrongful imprisonment, with a yearly cap of $65,000. High-profile exoneration cases in recent years have brought the issue of wrongful convictions to the forefront in Missouri. Kevin Strickland was exonerated after being convicted of a 1978 triple murder. Strickland, who testified in support of the bill, served 43 years of a life sentence before his release.
Make them pay for what they do wrong, and in the future, they won't be so quick to make these hasty prosecutions, investigations, and different things like that.
Strickland and other supporters of the bill said that it would help exonerees rebuild their lives after release. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Also in Jefferson City, Missouri lawmakers are again considering legislation that would place control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under a governor-appointed board. A Missouri Senate committee held a hearing Wednesday over two different bills on the same topic. Republican Senator Nick Schroer of St. Charles County is the sponsor of one of the bills.
This bill aims to improve accountability by establishing a dedicated board, ensuring that the police department operates with transparency and is accountable to the citizens that it serves.
Through Schroer's legislation, control of the department would move from the mayor's office to a five-person board. That board would consist of four governor-appointed commissioners who would serve alongside the president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Placing the department under state control has the support of Governor Mike Kehoe. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says she made the decision to seek a second term in the office on the day of her inauguration in 2021. As St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports, she says she needs more time to complete the work she started.
St. Louis had its lowest number of homicides last year since 2013. Jones says she has upgraded the city's hiring processes and its accounting software. She says she's made record investments in the city's most distressed areas. And she says she has standing relationships with people in Washington, D.C. who can continue to help the city, even with a new administration in office.
We have to make sure that we are enacting long-lasting, sustainable change, and oftentimes that takes more than 4 years.
Jones was a guest on the Politically Speaking podcast. Interviews with the three other mayoral candidates will air in the coming weeks. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Charles residents blasted a proposed Ameren, Missouri rate increase at a public hearing Wednesday. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the electric utility wants a 15% increase.
Speaker after speaker said electricity wouldn't be affordable if Missouri's Public Service Commission approved the rate increase. Many at the St. Charles meeting also said they thought the commission should wait to see how President Donald Trump's new energy policies might change the equation. Mike Epstein was one.
Increasing our energy production, that's going to drive down prices. This isn't guesswork. We saw it in the first administration of President Trump.
There will be more rate hearings in the coming days, including another in-person hearing in St. Louis County Monday. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Eggs are really expensive right now. The average price for a dozen eggs climbed to over $4 last month. A major reason for this is an outbreak of bird flu, which is infecting chickens and shrinking the supply of eggs. More than 13 million egg-laying hens died because of the virus in December. That's more than any other month of the year. The virus is particularly impacting the middle of the U.S., where there's a lot of large egg producers. That's according to Jada Thompson, a poultry economist at the University of Arkansas.
The disease specifically has stuck around in the Midwest, and part of that is a bit of climate, a bit where wild bird migratory patterns have gone through. And so they've been disproportionately affected.
Thompson says egg prices will come back down as the industry adjusts, as long as bird flu outbreaks don't increase. Seven local chefs and restaurants are semifinalists in this year's James Beard Awards. Those are considered among the most prestigious in the culinary world. All right, here they are. Gerard Kraft is up for consideration for Outstanding Restaurateur for his niche food group, which includes Brasserie, Pasteria, and Expat Barbecue. He has previously been nominated in other categories and won Best Chef Midwest in 2015. This year's semifinalists in that category include Nick Bognar of Sato and Lauren Knowledge of Balkan Treatbox. Vicia's Jane Sacro Chatham is up for Emerging Chef. Nathaniel Reed Bakery is back on the list for Outstanding Bakery. A new category, Outstanding Professional in Beverage Service, includes two local women, Natasha Barami of The Gin Room and Alicia Blackwell Calvert of Madrina. Finalists will be announced in April and winners awarded at a gala in June. But right now, they're all worth celebrating. Cheers and congratulations. Illinois residents have until February 14th to cast their ballot in the contest to pick the state's next flag. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer spoke with members of the Flag Commission and a flag design expert about the process. They include Southern Illinois University Edwardsville history professor Tandra Taylor, Southern Missionary Baptist pastor Sherelle Bird, and Ted Kay, who works with a nonprofit that studies flags.
Wanted to start this conversation with the current Illinois state flag. It's white, has the state seal on it, and the state's name just below that. So, Pastor Bird, Professor Tandra, you guys both served on the Flag Commission over the last 6 months. Coming into those meetings, what were you thinking about the current flag? Tandra, we'll start with you.
I had maybe ambivalent feelings about the flag. As a historian, I recognize the significance of some of the themes that are present in the artwork on the seal, and I felt okay about those. I also recognize that Illinois has changed quite a bit over the last 200 years, and it may be time to consider how Illinois would like to represent itself as a state and also as a part of a union.
What about you, Sherelle? What do you think of the current state flag? Is it time for a new one?
I'm so accustomed to seeing the old design for so long that as I looked at it, you know, you get so accustomed that at this time, say, well, should it stay the same? I'm just used to it. But I talked with the governor, and I see what they were talking about with the change and the emphasis to try to make it apply to the state in general, so that the state can be identified entirely through that flag design, which made a lot of sense to me.
This process happening in Illinois is kind of happening right now in a time where other states and cities are considering redesigning their own flags right now. So Ted, why are our states and cities, you know, making those decisions to redesign their flags right now?
There are two fundamental reasons why states are redesigning their flags. The negative one is to remove symbolism that some people find offensive, like the Confederate battle flag or depictions of Native Americans. But there's also a positive reason, and that is improving the branding of the state. The state flag can be a powerful symbol for the state outside of the state, and flags with seals on them aren't very effective brands. Seals can't be made out at a distance. In fact, Illinois in the 1970s added the word Illinois to its flag because its seal couldn't be made out at a distance. But the other more fundamental reason that seals don't belong on flags is that seals belong to the government, but the flag belongs to the people.
So, Ted, I just kind of wanted to get your brief thoughts. What did you make of the 10 finalist designs that made it through the process?
I think that they all would get about a letter grade B from flag design experts. Each of them has the opportunity to be an even better design with some polishing.
And the winner of the public vote may very well get 10% of the vote. Is that a compelling argument for the state legislature, the General Assembly, to consider that, you know, only a small fraction of the public has approved or picked this state flag? What do you think, Tandra?
I think what's important is public engagement. So that's not lost on me, and hopefully it's not lost on the public, that the idea was to really get feedback from the submission process to the voting process. And with that, I don't know, you know, the extent to which the public vote is going to influence the legislators when they consider this. But my hope is that they've given a massive amount of effort to invite Illinoisans to have a say in how they are represented by the state flag.
That was Illinois Flag Commission members Tandra Taylor and Sherelle Bird, as well as Ted Kay of the North American Vexillological Association, speaking with our Will Bauer. To hear the full conversation, listen to today's episode of St. Louis on the Air. It's on the air at noon and 7 p.m. or wherever you listen to podcasts like this one. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico. I've successfully pronounced the word vexillological today. And from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. At least I hope I pronounced it properly. Vexillological. Vexillological. North American Vexillological Association.